Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. People are hopping on, so.
Morning.
Hello. Hello again, Hansel.
Twice in 1 week.
I know. That's so cool. Everybody's hopping on. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Oh, it's so fun.
Hello.
Hi. So everybody's hopping on. I'm admitting them while they come up. So that's why I'm spending some time. So while people are joining, there's the group chat. I welcome you to use that for any questions, and I'll go through the scroll to see if there's anything I need to see. But you can post your questions there. Once I start, it's going to be I start. So sometimes if I have to do too many things, I kind of get out of channeling mode. So, and those of you who have been with me before know that. But those of you who are new, sometimes if I have to go do something, then it kind of takes me out of what I'm doing in the moment. That's why shamans had apprentices. Anyway, yeah, our personal assistant. Okay, I think everybody's here. So, oh boy, are you excited?
Yes.
Or are you going, oh my gosh, what did I decide to do?
Yes,
I got a few emails. There was like, oh my god, shit came up. I'm like, and I decided to join. I'm like, It'll all be fine. So anyway, welcome everybody. This is the week one of the Healing Lab. Hey, I've never taught this before. I've been doing it for 30 years. But, you know, like I said a couple weeks ago, the inspiration landed really hard. And I kind of went, no. And then Susan said something on one of our idea party calls, and I just went, well, if that isn't the like ping to say go do it,
blame it on me. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, blame it on you. Blame it on Susan. Suddenly Susan. So anyway, we're here, and I really think the next couple weeks is about you understanding. The word that keeps coming to me is portals, like there's entry points in multiple realities that you're going to get to play in over the next couple weeks. And I'm going to explain what it's about. And look, I can make this as complicated as you want, or I can make it as easy. And I would prefer easy because it was easy for me in the beginning. And so with that, I'm just gonna commit to making it easy for you. I get really irritated with people who complicate things. Because I went to, okay, so part of my learning journey was that I decided that I needed a 4-year school, Barbara Brennan's School of Healing. And as if you went there, great, more power to you. But by the time I landed there, I had a whole bunch of medicines, healing modalities in my bag. And I thought that I needed to go to Barbara Brennan. It's like, I think it ended up costing $15,000 a year after 4 years. You're really getting a college education in healing. But what I found the first year is I kept learning, she kept teaching stuff that I already knew, like I gotten it from my healing teacher. I gotten it from Marguerite. This body of work I'm teaching you, I want to give the lineage piece to Marguerite Baptiste. She was a impish woman about 4'4", wiry hair, who had healed herself of paralysis twice. Was, you know, working in her apartment in Fort Lauderdale, very small apartment, nothing showy, but the woman knew what she was doing, and she was just the right person I needed at the time. So I'm going to be gifting you those skills to take out in the world, because I feel like right now, one of the things along the way, one of the things that kept driving me in my healership was that I wanted to be in service to my family and my community. I wanted to be in service to my family and my community. And maybe it was from other lifetimes where I'd lived through pandemics or tragedies or, you know, earthquake, whatever. I always felt like I was going to be on the front line of the energetic movement, not necessarily being a first responder, but in essence, what you're going to be learning here are skills as a first responder from an energetic perspective. So you may have all the healing tools in your bag, and go on to yourself, why am I even taking this class? Well, there's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why people were like going, well, I'll sign up. Well, I'm like, well, I'm going to sign up. There were a lot of you doing that. And that's fine. That is absolutely perfect. There's no right way or wrong way to do this. So you're going to be working with portals. And I love portals. As an architect, I just love portals. Most of our activity is going to be on Facebook, so I encourage you to join the Facebook community and share what's going on with you, and to ask you to bring that information or whatever's going on, rather than putting it in an email to me, is to really come to the Facebook forum, share there, because other people will get something from your sharing and caring. It's really apparent yesterday on the idea party, and what I've done five, is that people get something from your sharing that they need to take them to the next place. And that's kind of selfish to just try and keep it between you and I. And so we're in a community, and the community is the way we operate. And I'm going to say something about certifications, and somebody's trying to get in. Hold on one sec. I'm going to say something about certification. I've never been certified in anything. I think it's kind of funny. Every time I'd go to get a certification, something would, like the 4-year Barbara Brennan thing, I got into the third class, and my compassionate helping ally said, what are you doing sitting here? You already know this. You're done. You're complete. It's like, what? I'm just like, I'm going to spend 4 years in the... No, I was done. And at that point, once I made the choice, now this is the key point. I made the decision. I made the choice that I was complete. And then Barbara Brennan showed up, and she started teaching senior skills to the freshman class. And she stood up on stage. She looked around everybody, and she said, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but it's a skill technique I usually only share in the senior class. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Because once I see something, I grok it. Like, you know, that invitation is there for you. When you start to get this, you'll go, wow, wow. So I wanted to share that. And let me talk about certification. Certification to me is one in the community, it's a way to make money. It's a way to say, this is my, this is my piece of paper and you can't have my piece of paper unless you pay me XYZ and then I'm going to give you the piece of paper. Okay, that's fine. That works. But a lot of times what's happening is that when I went into started, I needed feng shui training because I could get CEU credits for my interior design degree or license. And I was sitting in the feng shui class and I realized that feng shui was concretized shamanism. In other words, it had taken a system, put it into a format, and then started certifying people. And I'm not against certification, but I also think that certification can limit you in what your experience is out in the world. And that too often what you do is you prove your ability to do the healing because you've got this certified piece of paper. And I'm like, fuck the paper. I don't care if you don't have it. If you're doing good work out in the community, then you are doing your work. And Sandy Sounder Ingerman, I studied with, she's been my mentor for 30 years now, almost 30 years. She said there's no certification in shamanism. There just isn't. If you're doing good work in your community, you're out there serving who you're meant to serve and people are having results, then you are the shaman for your community. So I always think of, well, I go back to the comment of, well, it's very woo-woo. And there's a lot of people who want to talk down around the woo-woo stuff. Well, you have to understand the woo-woo stuff. Somebody will come on, this is what they'll say. Well, I studied this and it's woo-woo backed by science. And I'm like, excuse me? Because at some point there was somebody who decided to take that process, stand up with it, be out ahead of the pack before the science caught up and said, I'm going to do this work. Looked around, there wasn't anybody with them, had the bravery and the courage to do it, and then science catches up with them. It's always that way. Science catches up. And so when you find yourself going, well, is this real? Like you want to just go back into your center point and ask, am I doing good work in the community? Is this of value to people that I'm teaching and talking to? What part of me feels less than because I do not have the degree, the certification, blah, 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 because there's a better than, less than piece that's floating around your healership that really it's a shadow piece that's being asked to be worked with. And that's literally all it is. It's like you separating yourself and saying, I can't do the, you'll use it as an excuse, I can't do the work. Can't go out in the world and do this work. I need one more thing. I need to do this. I need to do that. Now, the reason why these healing, long distance healing skills are important right now is because we're in the middle of a pandemic and you cannot be one-on-one with people in the same room. And I was in shamanic training for, 10 years and these skills were not taught. And I don't know about Reiki because I did one Reiki class and I was like, I got the symbols on my own one time during a breathwork experience and didn't know what they were. And the person, the entity came and started putting light codes into my hands. And I was like, what's this? And then when I took Reiki, I was like, oh, and let me say this, you may have your own set of light codes just because you got activated in one light code doesn't mean that there's other light codes out there that want to work with you. So I guess what I'm saying is rip up the books, rip up what you learn, just be open to the outcome, not attached to the outcome, and things will start to move for you. So that's my stand up on the soapbox around certification and woo. So let's do this. Let's go around the circle and just tell me, let's do self-introductions. And if you don't want to, that's fine. You just hold back and just observe. But I'm going to say, by the second week, you're going to have to get into action. So you can't be this reluctant healer going, no, I'm not ready yet. So what I'd like to hear is your name, where you're from, so everybody gets this idea when they're seeing you on Facebook, and just a bit about your healership. I don't need a whole long like resume. Just why are you here? What's lighting you up around this? So with that, whoever wants to go first, you can raise your hand and I'll. Valerie, yay. Go ahead, Val.
Let me unmute myself.
Hi,
everybody. I am Valerie. I am from Cornish, Maine. I studied Marielle healing many years ago, and I have not been practicing it. And I felt very strongly drawn to taking this course because I think... I know that there's a lot of healing work to be done, and I am committed to doing it for my family and for my community, and I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited. Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Cindy.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, hey. I got two Cindys. Hold on, go ahead.
Well, okay, what Cindy do you want?
You, that's fine. You go first.
And then Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Cindy Paldek, London, Ontario, and I'm a Healing Touch practitioner and instructor. I loved your whole spiel on certification. I run into that all the time with people thinking they have to be there certified before they can be a healer. And in that span of them waiting, then they don't never know how to ask for money, and then they quit because they don't know how to ask for money. It's a whole, we're speaking the same language. Let's put it that way. And it's a circle, right? It's just a circle. So I signed up because I love you and love your work, and I've missed having it. And I've just gone through all my new moon stuff that we used to do, I think 4 years ago. And I do distance healing. And I think it'd be a great refresher to just be committed for 4 weeks in a row to really be focused on it, because it is the way of the future. And the challenge I'm having right now is my one-on-one clients aren't switching over to distance. Mm-hmm. My practitioners that I'm training to become practitioners I'm doing distance with them. That's not a problem, but I'm not getting my one-on-one clients. They keep saying I'll wait till the COVID's over. We're now into weeks, you know. and so I think that's partly me. I don't think it's just them. I think it's partly me. And because my focus has been more making sure my practitioners are doing their work. So this is just, I'm looking forward to 4 weeks focusing on this, and this being to get me charged to send out an email to my clients to say, hey, this is a possibility. Let's look at this.
Okay. There's somebody trying to dial in. And there, I don't know why my earphones are picking up. Okay, thank you, Cindy. I'm excited to see what this does in your circle of people. And she's absolutely right. That circular energy. I don't know what to pay. I don't know how to do it. I do know how to do it. Wait. So thank you. There's Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Oops, I unmuted you. No.
Okay.
Okay, there you go.
So having been in that circular energy, I can relate. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to ask for. I do know what I'm doing. So Cindy, Sin I go by usually. I live in Syracuse, New York, well, outside of Syracuse. I've been with Michelle for a really long time. I don't know how long now. 4 or 5 years, maybe.
You're one of my...
long time. So yeah. She said she was going to do this. I thought, do I really, do I need to do this? But I thought, maybe I'll learn something new. I've been I'm a shamanic practitioner. I'm a mental health counselor. You know, I've been doing the work for 30 years or better. Not always out, you know, not out of the closet, so to speak, but the last 10 years I've been out and doing the work professionally, I guess. But yeah, I love Michelle's work, and I came to see if there was something I could learn and put in my toolbox. So,
yay. Thanks. Okay, who wants to go next? Sorry, I've got people messaging me on Facebook. They can't get in. Okay. Hold on one sec. Let me see if I can get them.
The Zoom number changed. I had difficulty getting in originally because the Zoom number that I originally had changed from the one you did today. So maybe they have that.
Tell them okay. To use the one they found this morning then, because that's the one I went in on immediately. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on one sec.
My glasses are crooked.
Let me see if they... Where am I? Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go.
Okay, hi Hansel.
I'm Hansel, like Gretel. And I live in Orlando, Florida. And I'm not a healer. but I've always been drawn to woo-woo stuff. So I found you, Michelle, through a friend, Amy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know you very well, but when when this popped up in my email box, I think in the email you had said, you know, take a walk, see if it's right for you. And, I mean, before I even got out the door, I felt like in my body was screaming yes. But then when I got back home, of course, I was kind of like, what are you doing? But I went ahead and did it. So anyway.
Cool.
Yeah.
A newbie.
Yes.
There's other newbies here, so don't fret about it.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you. And you're a Floridian too. So.
Yes. Yay. Well, I am. Yeah. Not native, but yes.
Nobody's native that's our age, so.
I know.
Okay, I'm going to mute you. Who wants to go next? Okay, Beth. Hello. Okay, there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm Beth. I'm in Palm City, Florida. Michelle, you'll note that I've moved.
Yeah.
I am a shamanic Reiki master. I don't know. I came up with that somewhere. I really like it. I've done several different modalities of healing training, from Oriental using a pendulum to shamanic to Reiki to other pendulum work that I do, which it works, is all I will say. Pretty much what I'm looking forward to in here is taking what I can learn and just making it another step. Mm-hmm. One of the questions that I have is with Reiki, we're supposed to always ask for permission. And I know we talk about yes and no, you do, you don't, what's implied. So that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to, is to see how this fits into it. Because to me, if somebody says I'm hurting, that tells me that they want help. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's permission. But, okay. You know, those are the kind of things. And just... you know, I love to learn from you.
Thank you.
I did spend over a year with Michelle doing her shamanic training, so I'm looking forward to this again.
Yay. Thanks, Beth.
You're welcome.
Okay, who's next? Oh, Heather. Oh, there you go.
Was sorry. I was doing the unmuting, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm Heather and I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. And it is a rainy morning this morning, so I actually had to just run out because my car is wide open because I was expecting the rain. So anyway, I am here. I wasn't sure why I was here because so I, you know, Reiki master, a couple of different certifications, healing modality. First started entering this world probably about 5 years ago when I actually had a spirit of a dead girl come to me. A little out of the blue for myself. And so then I began exploring it after that. And anyway, so followed the energy, to have done a ton of different things, but I've really let the long distance healing go. I've been more or less working with, which is funny because in the beginning I did a lot of long distance healing with people, but then, you know, got more comfortable with hands-on and being in place with people. And so anyway, when you just said this morning that we're the front line of the energy workers, that's really actually what I've been feeling because in a past life, so 15 years ago, I was actually a police officer and a firefighter. Mm. And so once I left that journey, I never looked back, but when this whole pandemic started, I always thought I'd be on the front line of things like this, like that. You know, I mean, I was a police officer when we had 9/11. And so I was in California, not dealing with that, but there was a lot of unrest and unease. And I was dealing with that at the time. And so when this first came to fruition, this current pandemic, I just kind of found myself, I don't know, uneasy, like feeling like I was on the wrong path or in a different timeline. Like everything's felt a little traumatic. And so anyway, when you shared that this morning, I thought, oh, no wonder I'm called to this to get back on that track. And so here I am.
Great. And front line. We are on the front line. Mm-hmm. So one sec. Somebody's still trying to get in. I can't seem to get it. Let's see. Where am I? Okay. Thank you for being here. So for those who have just joined, we're doing self-introductions and we're just sharing our name, where we're at, and what's bringing you here this morning. So who wants to go next? And if you don't want to, that's fine too. Huh. Jamie, you can unmute yourself here. There you go. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jamie, and I live in Wisconsin. So I live like on the border of Wisconsin and Minnesota. And I would consider myself definitely a newbie. I have received all sorts of healing over the last years, sort of on my path of what's for me. And I regularly bring home attachments. So I have to see healers regularly to get them removed. Mm. So I just would like to explore what is for me and how I can be a better service. I have been hiding from the world for a year. So this pandemic, staying home, I'm all practiced up.
Okay.
I'm kind of ready for what's next.
Okay. And can I ask you a question about the attachments? How do you know they're there?
I get really weird physical symptoms. Like I will faint or I'll get heart palpitations or I just don't feel like me. Okay. And I've worked with a Reiki master long enough that I know now it's time to that's what's happening. And that's the first thing when I walk in the door, she'll go, what is this? And who are these people? And I worked in hospice, and that's how it kind of began. I started fainting at my job.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that along the way.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to share? Maria, you're going to unmute yourself, Maria.
I'll go.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good afternoon from London. I'm from Cyprus. I've been living in London the last 13 years. I lived in the States too. I've received healing, but I've never learned any kind of healing. I've worked with Michelle in the past, so I thought this would be, I felt excited about it. So here I am.
Another newbie. Yay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And Susan, you want to unmute yourself, Susan? You want me to?
I'm good.
Okay, you do it. Okay.
So my name is Susan Lynn Bragg. I live in Los Angeles right now. I'm originally from Wisconsin and Minnesota. Hello. And lived in New York for 18 years. And I lived in Brazil when I was in a high school student, and then visited several times. So I know people all over the world, which people that I haven't been able to access, because every time I would move, they'd be, oh, but you moved away. So I'm more of a hands-on healer. I'm a Reiki master and a shamanic practitioner, and I've done each of those skills long distance. But I started feeling that people didn't understand it, and so I stopped talking about it or doing it. It seemed like it was somewhat dependent on their ability to believe in it, or not block it. And then I also teach a form of movement therapy. It's like Pilates, but it's called gyrotonic, and I do very hands-on there. A lot of those instructors right now have switched to online teaching, and I'm like, but I use my hands, you know, and I feel where their energies are blocked, and I help. And so my clients are also, I really understand when you say your clients are reluctant to come to you, because I've said to them, why don't we do it long distance? No, we'll wait till this is over. And then I'm getting emails or texts saying, oh, my back misses you. And I'm like, well, you know, you got a phone. So, and I certainly know that I receive long distance healing. So I'm looking at releasing those blocks in myself to thinking that other people need to won't dial in, you know, and that's so much.
I think that's so cool. I missed you. My back misses you.
But you know, some of those people actually, I work on their physical body, but I know what they need is something more. Yeah. And I even do Reiki with them. And I've done long distance with them, like when they've been in the hospital, and they're like, oh, I felt that. But they still don't, you know, want to go to that other place. So maybe it's interesting that they could,
We'll see. We'll get some. We'll ask some people and see what happens, and say I'm playing with this. Do you want to play? And then they'll give you feedback, and then it kind of builds on itself. So I'm grateful.
And I also remember when I was a newbie Reiki master person, and people were starting to do, like, on the internet, attunements, and I was like, I can't do an attunement on the internet. And I was like, you need to, I even had my cousin saying, well, can you do it long distance for me? Can you do it? Some people are doing it on the internet. I was like, no, you have to be here. And I would anyway, but They already had the gift. It runs in the family. So, yeah. So, missed an opportunity way back then.
Whatever you missed, let it come back tenfold now.
And I want to say one more thing. The thing about your light cards. When I did my Reiki training, I already was a healer. And someone said, "Oh, what are you doing?" I was working on someone at work because they had hurt their hand or something. She says, "That looks a lot like Reiki." She grabbed my hands and she felt them. She's like, she was all very concerned that I didn't know what I was doing or something. And she said, "That's like Reiki." I said, "Well, what's Reiki?" And she said, she told me, and I thought, I should go check that out because I don't have a name for what I do. But when I got to the training, I used to do what I called fingers of light. Mm-hmm. So when you talked about the light codes, I still do it where it felt like my fingers become extensions and mm-hmm. they go into the body. And I was doing that and I realized that Reiki, when you talk about the light codes and everybody having different light codes possible, I felt like Reiki was certain rays of the rainbow of light, and that what I did, there were some that were in common and others that weren't. So some of my stuff was separate, and I picked up a couple extra from the Reiki training. So that was my experience with.
So that brings up another point, and welcome, Debbie. Debbie just joined us. Am I the one to bring in new light codes? You know, that's a question you want to be asking yourself as you move through this work. And for those of you who are new, we'll explain that. But for those of you who have already gotten some training and, you know, am I the one to bring through this new modality? Am I to take the system to whatever it is to the next point? So anyway, no, great. Thanks, Susan. Debbie, we're talking about our name, where we're from, and what brings us here. Do you want to share?
I'll just jump right in. I'm so frustrated. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was so excited to be here. I'm sorry I got here late, everybody.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I'm Debbie, as you know. What brings me here? Where am I from? I was originally born in Canada. My father was stationed overseas. But I grew up most of my life in New York City, New York suburbs, and now I live in South Florida for the last, 10 years and about 17 in the last 20. I have worked with Reiki. I'm a Reiki master. I have worked with a lot of different energetic healings. I feel that the world is in great need of positive energy in the world right now. And that's what called me to come into this group.
Cool. Thank you. Yay. A lot of Floridians here. Okay. Did I miss anybody? No, I didn't. Okay. So let's go. So so I said this in an email, and I don't know whether you guys heard it or not, but, you know, I showed up at Marguerite's house, and I knocked on the door, and I walked in, and there were six people there, and we were doing hands-on healing work. And I didn't have a meditation practice. I didn't really have any of that stuff. I had just gotten done with an intense therapeutic, you know, releasing drama. And so there were no coincidences what happened along the way for me, at least. So I'm in this environment with all these other people who were healers, had been training with Marguerite for a long time. And I just walked in cold turkey and didn't know what I thought they were going to heal me. And it turned out we were going to learn how to heal each other. And I got this, I had such profound experiences that I was so excited about. Like, it was like finally a part of me had been unleashed and I wasn't holding back. And I made a call to my OA sponsor and I just started sharing. because I was having results that I just, it was just fun for me. My body was lit up. Now, and that's what happens when you hold part of yourself back. Your body starts to light up and say yes to it and step into it. And there's this expansion energy. And I was in an expanded state when I picked up the phone and started talking to this woman who I only met through a meeting. And she said she'd be my sponsor. And I'd been on the phone with her maybe 3 or 4 times. And there was just something about her that just, I'm a reader of people, and she was holding something back, but I didn't know what it was. So I got on the phone and I started telling her, we're doing long distance hands-on healing, blah, blah, blah. And it was like talking to a wall. And at the end of talking to her, she suddenly just said very sharply to me, "You don't know this, but I'm a Lutheran minister." And I was like, what I heard, because I'm really clairaudient, I heard her shit. This didn't happen to me. I'm more spiritual than you. I've got religious training. Why is this happening to her and not me? And the next morning I woke up and my voice was like this. I could not talk above a whisper. I had no laryngitis, but I couldn't get my voice out. And I went to see Marguerite that night for meditation. And I walked in. I was like talking like this. And she like looked at me and she said, "Inner child." Like she could laser in on inner child. And I was like, okay. And I had done, I had like been through 3 years of inner child revealing, healing, whatever. And I went back home the next morning and I sat in the chair and I told God, I sat in meditation and I was like, "I cannot talk like this for the rest of my life." And I remember sitting in the chair and I'm like meditating and I said to God, I said, "If you want me to do this work, you need to show me something right now." And all of a sudden, these two images of these hands of lit up hands. And the voice said to me, "Go to Barnes & Noble." And I was like, a good doobie. I mean, the voice told me to get up and go to Barnes & Noble. So I go to Barnes & Noble and I walk down the aisle. And here's this book, literally with the hands on it, lit up. And it's Barbara Brennan's book of healing. And I was like, oh, now it felt like the Twilight Zone. And sometimes you will feel like you're in the Twilight Zone. So I'm in this experience. I'm walking down. So the first book that's on the shelf is Hands of Light. And the second book that falls off the shelf is Soul Retrieval. You cannot make this up. So, of course, me going, okay, and then I take these two books and I open up the book and it's pretty much on target with what I'm learning from Marguerite. And the next time, and I think this is an important story because you will run up against religious thought, yourself, your past lives, whatever it is. There's been 3 incidences where I've had profound awakenings rubbing up against somebody that's got this like wall. So as soon as I read Barbara Brennan's book, my voice came back and it's never left. But the second time was I was in Barbara Brennan and I had been doing this healing work and she was like a class, like I loved shamanism because I could tell the person, like I had been doing long distance healing, "You go in your room, I'll go in my room and then I'll tell you what happened." And then I was like, shamanism, you could just lay down next to the person with your eyes closed. You didn't have to look at them. So that was great. I was like, still my little introvert. I don't have to look at you. I can do the healing work. And then I got to Barbara Brennan and you went to put your hands on somebody and the proctors would walk by and say, "Open your eyes, open your eyes." Well, it was, it was just really intense for me. And I had these healing skills and I walked in. And at the second or third session, they said, they have this Friday class. There's 5 days. Friday is you're going home. And they set up 250 people are in the room. And we do healings, give healings, get healings. And my small class teacher stood up on stage and said, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Now, in meditation that morning, I had asked to see my guides. I want to see my guides. I want to see my guides. I want to see it. And so I'm in the class, and right before I walked in the door, this really sweet woman that was in my small class came up to me, and she goes, would you do the healing on me today? And I said, sure. She said, that would be great. I was in meditation and my guides told me to come and find you. I said, sure, no problem. So we get in and I start doing the healing work, except now I'm doing my shamanic stuff because I've been taught, because she said on stage, do whatever you want. And they had a very scripted healing routine. You did this, you did this, you did this. And I was like, let's go. And so I was doing the healing work and the energy started flowing and I saw my guides. They showed up for the first time that I could see them. And I was like in another dimension doing this work. And suddenly I had every teacher in the room on top of us, because this is the point that I want to make about this, is that where you go, you have the ability to take the group. They did not want senior level work released on a group of 250 freshman students. And so they went into their own fear mode and they had to contain it. So they all showed up with contracting energy to shut it down. And I was brand new to it, and I watched my client go into what they call tetany. Now, I had been breath work many times and heard about tetany, but I'd never seen it work through a body. And when tetany shows up, the body actually goes like this and it can't move. And they started running the energy. And so I stepped away and I went outside with the woman and we sat down on the blanket outside. And she turned to me and she said, what did they do? And I said, they shut it down. She goes, it was exquisite. Why did they do that? I said, because I don't know why they did it. And she turned to me and she said, you don't know this, but I'm a Catholic nun. And at that point, I realized that I was beyond what this school could teach me, that the certification is not something I needed. And then again, I was rubbing up against the religious order and the confines of what I had been taught and raised with. And so at that point, I decided that I'd had enough of this school and that I started getting senior level teachings and that I would return to the Shamanic Foundation for Shamanic Studies to pick up the rest of my work. The final thing about the religious piece is that my mother thought I had joined a cult. My mother was really upset with all the things that were happening until I started doing long distance work on her. And what I loved about the long distance work is that I could tell when my mom was needing me and I could direct energy, or I would know. And we had a wonderful, you know, couple years before she passed of me being able to be a full out healer with her. Now, those healing gifts came to me because of the near death I had when I was little. And those healing gifts come to you because, one, you have a signature of a healer, and that is a signature. And two, because you say yes to it. And into saying yes, you can say, yeah, I'm ready, or no, not yet. And you can back off a bit and you can come back and you can play. It's not going to like go poof, like this. But what I found really fascinating when I look back over the last two decades is that right before my mom died, she said to a cousin of ours who was an Episcopal priest, you really need to talk to Michelle. And so I got on the phone and I started talking to this retired Episcopal priest. And I started sharing the journey that I had been on. And she started giving me all the Bible references to the experiences. And in that moment, it was like validating all these different things that there is encoding in the Bible. The Bible is, in fact, a light. It has light codes in it, but they've been hidden. And that I started to talk to her about the different things. And she said, what she figured out is that she had a spiritual awakening and that she had misread the path. And she was really going down a shamanic path, but the only thing she could describe it to is to take it back to a religious background. And so she went in and she started to do both shamanism and her ministry. It was wonderful. Like, hello. So I come from a path of hitting up a brick wall and going, I'm still doing it. And then the brick wall dissolves and I keep going. So I say that because there's different ways that you are going to be opened up over the next couple weeks. And so I just want you to be aware of that as we move through the next couple weeks. The stuff you were talked about, I'll talk about light codes. Great question. The next couple weeks of what's going to show up for you. So light codes. Light codes are language that is spoken. It's not spoken, but it's like symbols in light. Let me go to this. Hold on one sec. Okay. So you can go through all very, so Carolyn Mace, if you've read any of her work, Carolyn Mace says that most of us would have been in a monastery doing this work in olden times, but we have no monasteries now. And so we're out and about doing this healing work and we're having spiritual experiences and we don't really have a roadmap or a way through. That's pretty much why certification works for a lot of people, is because it gives people a roadmap that they can settle into. And one of the things Susan talked about is that her clients couldn't understand the efficacy of doing the long distance healing because, you know, they couldn't tangibly put, you know, it's not like she's like touching their body. However, what I learned with a lot of my work is that sometimes the defenses just drop because you are in a long distance healing and the person is more open to the experience of giving and receiving, and that there is something there that happens. And I always tell the client to wait 24 to 48 hours before they, you know, it takes 48 to 72 hours for the healing to be integrated. So there's that. But one of the things that one of the first mystics is Hildegard von Bingen. She had an encounter. You talk about light codes. Spirit speaks in sound, symbol, and light. Spirit, God, Source, Jesus, Buddha, blah, 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 speaks in symbol, sound, and light. And then we, as humans, have to cloak that in some sort of human skeleton sometimes. So you'll see angels being represented as humans. But if you take that away, that template of the human stuff away, what you will find is there's light codes, there's symbols, and there are sound. The sound is connected to it. And so I found this article about Hildegard. She has beautiful chanting music that she wrote, and while she was in the monastery, And it's 1,000, I think it's been like in the year 1,141. So this, her work endures. But her first encounter with the light was at the age of 3. And Hilda Card said, "It was seen as a great light that my soul trembled. And in the encounter with the light, called later by herself the living light, she looked and saw things that you yourselves long remained invisible to others and incomprehensible. In the year 1141 of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, when I was 42 years and 7 months, and 42 years is an Uranus, it's an important astrological event. Jesus Christ came down with a fiery light lighting the lights of the sky, and it flowed through my brain and my chest was burning and suddenly opened up to me the meaning of the scriptures. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write down what you see and hear, and again elsewhere, I see all these things, not with the extraocular, and they do not listen to the outer ear. And I see it rather solely in my heart with the physical eyes open, so that I never suffer the unconsciousness of ecstasy, but I'm awake and I look at it day and night. Let us all be aware of the light of love that warms our hearts and unites us." And so there have been times and mystical experiences amongst those that lived in the monasteries that went into the Catholicism, because that was the container for those times. But what's happened now is that container has been concretized. And so rather than experiencing the living light for themselves, the living light codes, they're waiting for somebody else to tell them what it's about. And so what's going to happen in this experience is that you're going to have, over the next couple of weeks, you're just going to play. All I'm asking you to do is play with it. And then make a choice at the end of the 4 weeks. Is this what I want to do? Is this the signature I want to carry? Now, there are clairs, what I call clairs, C-L-A-R, which is the French word for clear, C-L-E-A-R, clair. There's different clairs that are activated right now that you can invite the other clairs to start to wake up. It's not meant that you only have one way to be in the world, like intuitive knowing, there's intuitive seeing, there's intuitive hearing. So you want to, you know, type down in the chat if you can, if you know whether you're, when I go through these, what your main way of being with the clairs. There's clairsentience. You feel things. You just, you know, if I see somebody that's wounded, it literally comes into my body like a shiver. Like I can actually, you know, it's there. And Jamie was talking about it when something's been attached. She knows it because her body takes on this physical manifestation. There's a clairsentience. If you're gifted in clairsentience, you'll feel it. And you'll discount the feeling because it's not the way you think it should be. If you're clairaudient, you'll hear it. So when I was sitting in the chair and the voice said to me, get up and go to Barnes & Noble, that's clairaudient. There's clear seeing, clairvoyant. I mean, that gets a lot of press at this time. You know, you'll be in a group of people and they'll all be having these visions and you'll be sitting there not seeing anything. And then you'll make yourself wrong because you didn't see it. And what I want to say about that is that all of these clairs are work. So don't feel less than or better than because you have one way of doing it and somebody else has something else. I remember being in circle with Sandy, and Sandy says that it's like a cellular skin thing for her. That's how her intuitive knowing comes in. Well, you wouldn't know that was a gift or talent or capacity if somebody hadn't, you know, say, okay, here's a clair. There's claircognizance. You just know what you know. You know what you know, and then you go around going, did I really know that? I'm not sure. And then there's, now this one, these two are new. There's Claire Arlance, that's C-L-A-R-C-L-A-I-R-A-L-I-E-N-C-E. And that's a sense of smell. So you may be in a healing experience and smell something. Like one time I was working on my grandmother and suddenly the room was infused with the smell of roses. And my grandmother, she's so sweet, my Nana, she looked at me, she goes, "Do you smell those roses?" I'm like, "Yeah, I smell." Turns out it was an aunt. My Aunt Grace was in the room with us. Mother Mary comes with the smell of roses. Sometimes you'll see that. And then there's a Claire Gustance, C-L-A-I-R-E-G-U-S-T-A-N-C-E. And that's a taste. You taste it. You know, people sometimes say they can taste fear. I was working on a friend of mine, and I hit a pocket of something, and I could literally taste the fear in her body. I didn't know that was a Claire, but it is. So, Cindy says she's very clairaudient. Heather says that's me. Claircognizant, clairsentient. Susan says clairvoyant, claircognizant. So you have these abilities. Now, what I decided to do at the beginning of this is that I got a hold of Doreen Virtue's book, Divine Guidance, and I decided that I was going to beef up all of the clairs. So I literally asked and invited them to come back. And that's something that you can do as well. You can invite the clair, whatever clair you want to be. Just like when I said I wanted to see my guides, I was inviting the path of clairvoyance to come in a stronger way. And you can invite another clair in, and you may want to play with that over the next coming weeks. I will talk about that. I've always felt that the clairs are always part of, there's a day force and a night force. Day force and night force. So the day force is everything you see in the world as we see right now. And then the night force is the things that are behind our eyes or in that other world of woo. You want to call it the world of woo, that people don't really speak about. And so in order to understand this world, the daylight, the more clairs that you have, the more your ability as a healership activates and expands. And so you may have contracted and said, "I can't do this." And you've shut down a clair because of somebody's judgment, criticism. Like, look, I grew up with a mother. I was seeing things and knowing things. I saw entities. I saw, you know, things that were going on. And my mother used, and I used to speak it, and my mother would say, "Oh, that's not true. You didn't see that. That's not true. You didn't see that. That's not true. You didn't see that." And that's why when I ran up against the Lutheran minister, that was literally my mother personified. "Okay, Michelle, is that true for you?" "Yes, it is." "Are you going to live with her judgment?" "No, no. And I'm going to restore my voice." And there's always ability to ask. My mother would say that too. But yeah, literally, it's scary. Can you imagine just little kids walking around going, "I see you, and you know, I would know things." You know, I would know things. My mom would have had to freak her out. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, here we are. Let's go. The first time my daughter was around 4 years old and she laid down, I was wanting to have another baby and we were like debating and my husband was no and I was yes. And I knew what his name was. And Maddie walked into my healing room, grabbed an amethyst crystal, laid down on the floor, put it on, never did this, laid down, put it on her third eye and said, my brother's ready to come. And I was like, okay. She woke up in the middle of the night between the Rich and I, and she turned to her dad and she said, "My brother's ready to come." you know. So she stood there when she was three and we were having a fight. And she goes, Daddy, why is all that red stuff coming off of you? Okay, so there's the Clairs. So I'm laying the foundation right now. There's a thing called, and you can do some research, that both the Russians and the United States have both been playing in this realm forever. They do it in a different realm, but this is legit stuff. There's such a thing as called remote viewing. And remote viewing is the ability to seek impressions about distant or unseen targets and sensing what's going on. And really, that's what long distance healing is about. I'm going to lay down in my house. You lay down in your house. I'm going to remote view or sense in with my clairs what's going on. I'm going to connect with source, and we're going to activate what needs to be done in service to your higher self. Cindy's got a book called Remote Viewing, the complete manual. That's why I like hanging out with. You're doing remote viewing, but you're coming in it from a spiritual perspective and it's not like, it's not Jesus, it's not Buddha, it's who you pray to that makes your body expand and gives you joy. What gives you joy? What gives you, who do you go? It may be the dragonfly outside flying around. It may be the power animal that came to you as a child that is your source of companionship, of helping you work with this long distance healing modality. Okay, so how is everybody doing? I'm just going to check in before I start the assignments for next week. Let me unmute everybody. Okay, how is everybody doing? Is this helpful?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm going to unmute all. Okay, so what you want to do is you want to get a really beautiful notebook just dedicated to these healing experiences. You want to put in the notebook, so you want to start, if you haven't already, sit at least 5 minutes a day in meditation. 5 minutes a day in meditations, if you can go longer. I'm not asking you to do a half hour meditation, but at least 5 minutes a day, checking in with your body and just being you. And then writing in the journal what you experienced or what you found out. You also want to use this healing journal to invite your healing teacher in. Now, it may be a new ally or guide, and it may come to you during your walking around and you're seeing the same power animal or same animal presence two or three times. You want to pay attention to that. Like if you have a robin or cardinal showing up again and again and again, there is something there that wants to be explored. It may be Mother Mary. It may be, there was this time a couple years ago that I just had to have a statue of Mother Mary. I have angels all over the house, but I had to have this Mother Mary statue. It just really, like, I've got what they call creches all over the house, and I keep them out all year. Mother Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. In fact, I used to walk around the house with baby Jesus in the manger, take it out of the manger and walk around the house with. That's a kid. I would be the one stealing the manger guy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the path for you. For your path, it may be a spirit or helping ally. It may be an angel. It may be, I don't know who it's going to be for you. So let's invite them in to play. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to bring a picture. And I'm going to share the screen. So Okay, so I want you to find a beautiful picture that lights your body up. But that picture has a portal in it. Like this has steps up to, you don't know where they go. So it would be a, it's a portal picture. And your picture could be a lot of different things. It could be, we don't know what your picture is going to look like, but you'll know when you find it. It may be undersea. It may be a cave that you go into. The portal is the cave undersea. It could be walking down a path in nature. It could be sitting by a river. And for those star seeds, it could be an actual going into a galaxy. The portal could be going into a galaxy. And what I wanted to say too is that you'll know your picture. So next week, what I'm going to ask you to do is bring your picture to the session. And you want to print it out and put it and put a copy of it in your journal. And you want to activate that picture and say, yes, I'm ready. Because this is, look, I've been going to the same space, the same portal for 30 years. I've been playing the same music for 30 years. When I lay down to do a long distance healing session, it is consistency and I automatically do it. And I'll be teaching you another method, and some of you have been in my world for a while. The pennies came at a later point, but they are important too. But this is where I started. So your picture, your notebook, your meditation, and then you want to create a song, a heart chakra song, without language. It's just music. It may be flutes, it may be whatever calls to you, to find your playlist that's about 20 to 30 minutes long. It may be two songs, it may be three songs. I have used the same Stephen Halpern song for 25 years. A Gift of Angels, I think it is. And I know when I go through it, I don't know when I'm supposed to pop out of it, but I just know that that music takes me into my heart space. So you want to find your own heart song. It's going to be different for everybody. You don't want something that's got a driving beat. If that calls to you, great. But a driving beat, and you don't want something that's going to be in English or any language. You may find a YouTube video that you can play in the background that has an image that takes you right into it. There could be that too. Let me go back and share the screen again, because this is a great, it's not up here. Okay, never mind. You can go in and do a search on Hildegard, B-I-N-G-E-N, Hildegard von Bingen, B-I-N-G-E-N. You can pull up YouTube videos that have beautiful chanting music that will take you into the heart chakra. There's other music, but it tends to dip into the third and second and first chakra. That's not what we're playing with. We're playing with the fourth, fifth, third, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth, seventh, eighth. And those frequencies, a lot of them are found in Stephen Halpern and Hildegard's work. The other thing I want you to bring to the next session is four crystals. They can be tiny crystals. They can be rocks. If I'm not asking you to go out, buy a bunch of different, they can be little teeny tiny crystals. They can be big crystals. I want you to bring four, and they can be clear quartz or rose quartz, or if you really have an affinity for another stone and that's your signature stone, you want to ask, are you my signature stone for doing long distance healing work? Because what you're doing is you're pulling together your toolkit for this long distance healing work. So it may be rose quartz, it may be clear quartz. Eventually I had two huge Lemurian root crystals that I got. They're like this big, they're about this thick. And I use them for my healings. And then what I want you to do too is to bring, what was that name? Hildegard von Bingen? Is that what? Maria, is that what you were asking? Hildegard von Bingen, B-I-N-G-E-N, it's German, I think, or Austrian. You want to bring three copper pennies. It can be, you can bring nuggets if you've got copper nuggets. I was in a rock store and they had copper nuggets. They're really beautiful. But you want to get the copper pennies if you can pre-1982. Up until 1982, all pennies were 95% copper. After that, they're more zinc. So you want to get 1982, so pre-1982. And you're going to bring that to the session next week, and you can share this week on the Facebook page. So let me look and see if there's any other questions. You can raise your hand and unmute yourself if you have a question. Yeah, Cindy, that Robin may be part of this. And Susan says she wants to use her photography to create and share these types of portals. Yeah. So see, you guys are already getting it. And it's like meditation music. Yeah, it's just something that really lifts you, makes you feeling lifted. And if you feel lifted, your client's going to feel lifted as well. And first I need to learn photography. Hey, now that you said that, portals will start popping. So that's where we start. I'm going to unmute everybody. And are there any questions, celebrations before you end?
Still excitement. I can't wait.
Me too. Me too.
Like fun. I realized that I work a lot with crystals in person, and why can't I do that long distance? I mean, they're beautiful. They show, I can do a Zoom with crystals. I pick them individually. They're like mandalas that I create for, even while I'm doing my own meditations, I'll put them on my legs or in front of me in a little mandala. I have one or two main ones that I use that I always use, rather. There's one.
So what's going to happen is you're going to figure out that you already been probably doing some of this or all of it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to give you a different container, a different way to express it. How fun is that?
I have a question.
Hansel.
So does it have to be an actual crystal, or can it be like just a gem, like a piece of selenite?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it can be a rock. I mean, I've got a whole basket.
I carry this in my bra every day. So
sometimes I do the same.
I mean, it may be a rock. It may be you. The question is, you want to ask the crystal or the whatever it is, the picture is, are you to work with me for this long distance healing? Okay. And what I like to do is I like to take the things and say, this is just for my long distance healing, because what happens is it becomes a muscle that, okay, I used to set my timer. I used to have a kitchen timer. They were like, whoops, we didn't have phones. And so I couldn't set the phone, but I used to have this actual kitchen timer. I set it. I'd lay down. I'd put my crystals wherever I was going to be. I just knew, because I had muscle memory of this is to this, and it set up what I needed. So you may ask the crystal, are you just for this particular healing work? And then let it be that. It may be a rock. It may be a seashell. I mean, it could be a seashell. It could be a feather. Although a feather, if you're walking around, you got any animals, I don't really kind of recommend it, because one time I got up and the dog had the hawk feather in his mouth. And I took a long time for me to get that hawk feather. So it's kind of like chasing the dog around the house. Feathers don't work.
Yeah, cats love my feathers. They've eaten quite a few of them.
Oh, Mom brought in this delicate treat for me today. So, okay, everybody. So that is it. I hope you will be watching your dreams for the next, again, use your journal as your dream journal as well, because you're going to be like, it's going to be fun. So, okay, guys, take care. Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.